Coming up on TMS, most of you are fine.
Strange gym fellows.
Naked on a cow.
Gross break-in.
Where did my fake butt go?
Into my gross break-in. Stinky German finds no gold.
It's an old phrase. Never forget. Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
You intergalactic fool. You'll never get them back that way.
I suppose you have a better plan.
No plan at all. Just a little force.
You guys sound kind of sparkly.
The Morning Stream. 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 The Morning Stream.
Do dogs have brains? Because I'd like seriously wanted to know. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream, TMS for short. It's Scott Johnson here with Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Scott Johnson.
Slightly shorter show today. Not by much.
Right, a little bit later. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You had a little meeting that no one, the people that were the other half didn't show up. It's fine. It's okay.
That's right. That's so right.
You did. You did your part. You know?
I did. What? I did what I could do. I did all I could do.
Yeah. You showed up. You were there. And then the other half didn't show up. That's fine. I'll tell you who does show up, though. I wanted to fill people in real quick this morning on this, by the way, Thursday, the 9th of December, 2016, looking at the very heels of the new year. Mm-hmm. Or not the heels. What would it be?
Are
we licking the... What are we licking today?
I don't think we're... Do we have to lick something? Does it have to be licked?
We don't have to.
We are... nipping at the heels of a new year. No, because that means we're following it.
Oh, right. Yeah. No. Yeah. You're right. We don't want to do that. We want to be ahead of it. We want to lick at its knees. I don't know.
Bound and determined to somehow involve a tongue business.
Licking is cool. It can be. Anyway.
We're dipping our tongue into the frosting of the cake known as 2017.
Ugh. I don't want to eat your cake then. I want nothing to do with your cake after you've licked it. So as we do that, I wanted to bring up a quick update. So I mentioned the other day that we had a mailman who, or mail lady, I don't know, mail person, mail delivery person.
Postal carrier.
There you go. Who left a package under my rain gutter exit and did that to a number of neighbors. And my thought was, well, that seems like a serial move. That's not just a one-off mistake. And most people agreed with me, so that's there wasn't really a problem with that. But I've gotten so many emails from mail carriers, UPS guys, FedEx people, who all sound awesome. Every one of you sounds like someone I could count on, come rain or shine, sleet or snow, to bring me my appointed round, right? Like, you'll do your job, and you'll do it well, and you're not going to toss a TV over the fence because you don't feel like going to the fence. Like, you're not the problem. But it's amazing how so many of them came to the defense of the, what's the word, not industry, but to the profession of mail carrying and said, we would never do such a thing. It is outside the purview of what we believe to be right, and we would never do blah, blah, blah. And it was heartening to know that, you know, in the future, I'll probably never have this problem again. It came down to one dude with a bad attitude or something. And that's not most of you, so
no,
thank
exactly.
you for writing
it's,
in.
It's not going to let one berry spoil the whole bunch.
Yeah. Is that how the old phrase goes, Brian?
One bad apple spoil the whole. Don't let one bad berry ruin the cake with the frosting that has our tongue in it.
You're as bad as me today. That's usually what I do.
That's right.
All right, I went to the gym last night, and I got to share this with you.
Sure.
No Daryl today. Since we're running short, we're excising that from the proceedings, but we'll we're going to do other stuff later. Oh, I do have an announcement about that, though. Starting next week, Stump Daryl is still a segment, but will become a weekly segment. It's happening on Mondays. Every Monday, we do the big contest, give some big giveaway to people, and we do it on Mondays. No more four straight days in a row. For many of you, this will seem like an obvious thing that we probably should have done a long time ago. It makes sense to sort of spread it out. But we're absolutely going to do that. We have a little time buffer on Monday anyway, so it works well that way in there as a thing. And then the rest of the week, we're going to have a lot of other cool random stuff at the top of the show, including other kinds of giveaways, other opportunities for call-ins. We're just going to expand that out in 2017, turn that into something a little bit more interesting.
Call-ins and giveaways and stuff like that will continue.
Yeah, of course. So Monday, Stump Daryl, come back for it. Catch it. Maybe he'll be naked in bed and say weird things like, "You guys sound sparkly," or whatever he said.
You guys sound kind of sparkly.
Yeah, I still feel a little sparkly, Daryl, if you're wondering. All right, so I was at the gym. I went to the gym, Brian, to work out, you know, to get the exercise in, to justify my $15 a month or whatever it is I paid it.
Whatever you're paying, right?
Yeah, whatever it is. And we go in there, Kim and I, we went there yesterday at 4 o'clock, and we thought this is a perfect time to get a quick, you know, 45 minutes, an hour in or whatever. And
sure,
I had my plan. I was going to go straight to the treadmill, pull my book out and read a few chapters of Mr. Mercedes while I I chilled out on the treadmill there, which I did. And at first, I didn't have headphones in with any kind of music because I'm trying to focus on the book.
Sure.
And if I put music in, it would have to be something instrumental,
probably.
Yeah. I can't do lyrics while I'm trying to read. It's the worst.
No, I definitely can.
So I do that, and I'm cranking it up. I'm sort of in a warm-up phase, and somebody pulls up next to me in the very next one. Now, why they wanted to be right next to me, I don't know, because there's a whole swath of these treadmills. There's no reason why he couldn't have picked any. It's like the urinals in a men's bathroom. You never go, if they're all open, you never go right next to the guy who's there. You go down a few urinals, right? Isn't that the rule?
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly. You do, if there's four, you do one and three,
mm-hmm.
right? You first, if none of them are taken, you take one of the ones at the very end.
Yeah. You don't automatically default go to right next to the only guy who's there.
To the middle. Exactly. But if nobody's there to the end, if there is somebody there, then you leave one as a space, a buffer, and then you go to the next one.
That's right. Exactly right. So it seems to me that the treadmill rule should be the same. There's 15 treadmills in a row.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, why would you? If you're going to be, if you've got 15 treadmills.
You don't have your penis out on the treadmill.
Well, some of it, no. So but hear me out here. So if there's 15 of these, Brian, and I'm on one and there's nobody else on the other 14, why would you pick the one right next to me though?
Sure.
Doesn't that seem weird?
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Well, maybe he likes that one. Maybe it's got a nice location under the fan. It's got a good view of the TV.
Yeah.
I mean, is there any benefit to that one? Location-wise?
I don't think so.
Does the drink cart come around there more often? I don't know how gyms work.
No, we're just... we're right.
I don't know what they have at these gyms you describe.
We're right in the center of the block of these things, and there's no advantages that I can see, other than maybe he likes to be in the middle. I don't know. But... Yeah. If it had been me, I would have gone at least one or two away from him because I just feel like you give people their space. They're working out and stuff. So anyway, whatever. That isn't even the problem. I'm doing it. He's there. I'm like, whatever. He's next to me. He proceeds to not do a warm-up, not kind of a walk to run, not kind of a jog to run or anything like that. He goes straight to full-on running, which is fine. Okay. Whatever. Whatever is your whatever
no
cuts your cheese.
No warm-up? No 5-minute warm-up?
Seems you know, weird for me, but that's just me. I don't care about that. No judgment. But now, as soon as he starts running, every right step that he takes with his right foot, he makes this sound. Eek. Eek. Eek.
He makes it with his mouth?
Yes, with his mouth. Eek.
That's not his shoe or his...
Uh-uh. It's his mouth.
Hollow leg or something?
No, nope. He's going... Eek. Like that with every right step for the whole
I would have figured out a way to like turn on voice recording on my phone to capture some of this.
I don't know what I was thinking. I think it's because he was so close that I don't know, I it didn't even occur to me because it was just so weird to me. So what I did instead is after about 5 minutes of this, when I realized it wasn't going to stop, I turned on like Dead Mouse or something and cranked it up and couldn't hear him anymore.
I hope you can match the BPM of your music with his...
Well, this is a good question. Maybe it did. And he did this for like 25 minutes, and every once in a while I'd adjust my earbud just so I could kind of hear if it was still going. And sure enough, and the faster he'd go, like that. So... Part of me is like, well, maybe he's got some weird chronic bone thing or something that hurts, or maybe I don't know. I don't have any way of knowing. But is anyone out there like a chronic runner, somebody who's way into running, who can explain to me why you would make a every time you put your right foot down. Because that was
when he
really
finished
weird.
Up, did he slowly stroll away going,
No. No, in fact, when he got done, he ran, and I don't mean, he didn't walk. He ran over to the wet wipe thing, the dispenser.
Yeah.
And then ran back over there and furiously cleaned his thing, his station. Just furious.
Oh, nice. This is good.
He's just going crazy to clean it really fast, and I'm just kind of jogging and going, okay. And then I thought, maybe I should pause my, am I making an eat noise every time I step? No, I wasn't.
Right.
I was just breathing normally. I look down. My heart rate's about 110 or whatever for the run. All the stuff's going the way it's supposed to. And this guy is going, eat, eat, eat. It was really weird. Super weird. Anyway, I didn't know what to make of it. But
that's funny.
I got to go to the gym more because.
Yeah, I hope you. Now you have to go find this guy and take the treadmill next to him so that you can.
Oh, yeah. If I see him,
record him doing this.
Totally. If I see him, I'm doing it. He had a man bun. So here are a few descriptions. And I don't know if this helps. Okay. Probably doesn't. But he's younger, probably. I don't know. Mid-30s, 31, 32, something like that. And has a man bun all like neatly piled up on the top of his head. He looked normal in every way in terms of like proportionally. He didn't look like he had a longer leg than another or anything weird like that.
Sure.
Not that that's weird. You know what I mean, people. No physical abnormalities were present. It just looked like a normal guy. His clothes were fine. You know, just wearing some kind of track pants thing and a sleeveless tank thing. And just going, ee, 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 all the whole time. He was the knights who say neat, but every time he put his right foot down. It's really weird.
All right, so clean cut, though? Like, you know, man bun?
Yeah, man bun notwithstanding. Totally clean cut. No beard, no stash. Well-kempt otherwise. The guy didn't reek or anything. He was just a
maybe
guy.
Snorting cocaine? Maybe?
Well, all right.
The running to the wet wipes and running back and furiously cleaning.
I hadn't thought. Maybe that leads to maybe that's a point. I don't know.
No, I'm going off the rails there. No, I don't know. But I boy, there's so many questions.
I don't even know what to do. Maybe there's a lung pinch or something, or maybe maybe he's. I don't know. So I'm no expert, and I'm not trying to make a judgment here. I'm just saying I've never stood next to anybody at a treadmill station thing who says eat over and over. This is a first for me. All right. Yesterday, I was driven to jealousy beyond my wildest dreams by photos sent by Nicole Spag and by you and video and other things of your project you're working on with Mark Spagnuolo. I was so pissed to watch you sit there and play Joust. Like, as if it was no big deal to the entire world going, oh, my gosh, look, it's Joust, everybody, on Brian's desk. It wasn't really your desk yet. But anyway, tell me how that went. How'd that go?
Yeah, still on Mark's Wood Whisperer studio. So I got the chance to go down to the Wood Whisperer Central headquarters, HQ, WWHQ, and do my part of the work on the tabletop arcade cabinet, the RetroPie tabletop arcade cabinet. So... Mark Spagnuolo and I have been working on this for a while, but it's so far it's been a lot of his work doing the wooden parts of this. He doesn't want to do any electronics. He's leaving that to me. So I'm doing the buttons, doing the monitor, doing the
innards. He's whispering to the wood. You're whispering to the silicone.
To the mechanics. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Because we had so much of the front end cabinet work to do, before I could do any of my parts, he's been kind of doing that in his shop on his own, recording it because this is for a sponsored DeWalt promotion or a video that he's doing. So he's using all DeWalt tools to make this thing and make sure to video the whole thing. But he is going to be putting this on the Wood Whisperer feed, and he wanted me to be down there to do the controls, the buttons, that sort of thing, to make sure that we had that in the video as well. He's going to do his own voiceover to it, which is good because... there was a lot of BSing and talking and stuff going on that I don't think people would care to listen to. Although people tuned in for the live Facebook feed or the I don't know if he did Periscope or Facebook or whatever he did, but we did a live feed of the work we were doing yesterday, and it was primarily me installing buttons and electronics and stuff inside the case. Now, the way we've got this set up, there isn't a whole lot of room for speakers on the top. We could have done speakers on the side, but I kind of wanted the nice clean wood look mm-hmm. on the sides, and mm-hmm. and that's the part we have left to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we have this spot underneath the marquee, which has room for two speakers, two mm. stereo speakers. And
which, by the way, is the, how a lot of those were done in the old cabinets. They would
for sure. Yeah, exactly. When in your arcades, you didn't have speakers right. on the sides, because that kind of would have played out to everybody else right. playing other games.
Sure.
But because of the size of the thing, the fact that it's a tabletop machine, we've got very limited space in that marquee area, which means we've got to put 2-inch speakers in there. Mm-hmm. So we need, number one, speakers that fit that size, but two, sound good.
Mm-hmm.
And doing a little research online and looking on some boards, I found a manufacturer called Arctic that has these $5 speakers on Amazon that sound good. They've got a separate control port, like a separate volume switch, and they are 2 inches, and they come in cases, but you take them out of the cases and install them into your arcade cabinet. They're right. really, really good.
Right.
The problem is they're not made to be taken out and handled and messed around with. The
They're delicate membranes and things like that.
They're delicate. Yeah, I mean, the speakers themselves, good and solid, but they're soldered on by what I can only assume are lemurs with hardware duct tape to their arms to do the soldering.
Sure, that's how you do it in the new way. This is the new way.
Other, yeah. Right, it is. Yes, I mean, it's so poorly soldered that any movement, any pressure on these wires pulls them right out of their solder channel. Yeah. Like it just doink, breaks yeah. them right off.
Yeah.
And sure enough, the first set of speakers that I got, the remnants of which are sitting right over on a table I can look at right now in a jumbled pile.
Yeah.
In the process of taking them out of the cases, they were fine. But the process of taking them down to Mark so we could measure them and get the holes cut and then bring them back here and fixing a couple solder things that broke and then like four more broke in the process of fixing those first two. Basically, I just said, screw it, and I bought another set. Again, they're like $20 or $15 or something sure. with manufacturer shipping and everything.
There's always going to be some, there's always, what's the word, casualties in these things.
There's breakage.
Yeah, right. There has to be.
There's a calculated loss.
Right, there has to be.
So I ordered another set, and I said, all right, well, here's what I'm doing. I'm not going to do any taking apart of these speakers here at the house. I'm going to wait till I get them down to the Wood Whisperer Studios, and I'm going to take these speakers apart there, and that way we can go pull them out of their speaker boxes, mm-hmm. move them as little as possible, get them into the wooden cabinet, screw them in, bam, no worries, right?
Yeah.
So I'm on video. We're doing a live Facebook stream, and Mark has the camera zoomed in on my hands,
uh-huh.
and I'm in the process. I take the front pieces off, the grills off, and I get the screwdriver out. I'm unscrewing the speakers, and the speakers come out, but of course there's that cable that connects them to the control panel and the volume knob and the backing thing. Mm-hmm. And I take my pliers to start breaking the case open, because you've kind of got to break the case around the wires to get the stuff out. You don't want to cut the wires
sure.
for obvious reasons.
And by the way, can I just, for some clarification, sure. these were recommended sure. online by people who have used them for similar projects, right?
Yeah, a couple. One person on an arcade cabinet forum said, "Well, here's a good set. I use these for mine." And what is really nice about these is that they do have a lot of bass too. They actually sound really, really good for being 2-inch speakers.
That's good.
They'll sound. You know, you won't want to watch a Netflix movie on this thing, but for playing Dig Dug, as good as what you had in 1983.
All right, that's good. Good or better. That's good.
Exactly. So I take the pliers out and I start breaking the plastic case, and I'm talking to Mark and saying, yeah, so here's what I've got to do. I've actually got to break the case around the wires so that we don't, you know, tear the wires up or cut them or anything like that. And as I make that first breakage of the plastic case around these speakers, I don't realize the pliers also have one of the cables in with them.
Oh, no.
And as I snap the plastic, I also just cut right through a set of cables.
Oh, no. You're like Clark Griswold with his shirt stapled to the roof.
That's exactly what I am. So I'm like, oh, crap. And so because we're videotaping this, I'm kind of like saying, well, and you know, and what we've got to do is, because this cable is so long, we've actually got to cut this cable, because what we're going to do is use these little 3M wire locks, and we're gonna crimp them together in another place. But I'm doing all this basically just to save face on the video instead of saying, yeah, as I'm talking about how careful you have to be with these speakers, I just went ahead and broke one of the wires.
Wow. So it worked out, though. I mean, they worked, because I heard them.
It worked out, and we did also have two more wires that came off of their soldering pins. So I had to go over to Home Depot. They have a Home Depot fairly close to them, which is good for Mark. Yeah. And buy a cheap soldering iron and some solder and re-solder two connections that broke. But we did a test. Everything sounds great.
Yeah.
We sealed that whole area up so no more hands will get in there and screw anything up.
Yeah.
And
just don't bang it real hard on the road or anything. You'll be okay. Right.
But yeah, so all that's left to do is just put the sides on this thing and go from there. So
are the buttons working and everything? Because when I saw the video, you were playing on a gamepad or something.
No, the buttons. So I had to do some research on this. It's funny because when you launch the RetroPie, it takes you into what's called Emulation Station, which is kind of the main menu for your arcade games.
Right. It's where you get all your ROMs on there and everything. Yeah.
Exactly. And it groups them into the different consoles and things. So you've got your Nintendo, you get your MAME, you've got your ColecoVision and television, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And you select there. And then once you choose a game, boom, it launches the ROM and there you go. Well, in that Emulation Station is also where you configure your input. And so you either need to have a keyboard or something that is already established in that Emulation Station to be able to launch into the menus and get to where you can configure a new input, like these arcade buttons.
You got
to
start somewhere.
And I programmed in all the arcade buttons. Everything was working. It's like, all right, down, up, left, right, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as we launched a game, those controls stopped working and I had to use a USB controller. Oh. So I did some research last night after I got back home, and it turns out it looks like I actually need to reinstall the RetroPie software. Because there's an initial setup thing that you do that that configures all the inputs. And since that external USB controller was the first thing that I had on there, it defaults to that one. And I need to, anyway, long story short, I need to reinstall the RetroPie software. But it takes 5 minutes. It's super, super easy.
Yeah, they're small. It's small. And also, listen, no one ever told you it would be easy. They only said it would be worth it.
Right. That's right.
So this is good. This is the path to success is riddled with stones and rocks. I'm making up all kinds of fake sayings right now.
No, they sound good though. They sound really, really good.
They sound real, like maybe somebody might have said them in a real context at some point.
I was gonna ask you what movie that came from, but apparently it didn't come from any.
No, it didn't. All right. Well, I think that's all good and well. Hey, I know what we'll do now. This Just pretend Daryl just left. This is brought to you by, I don't know, you got anything?
Brought to you by the Pokemon Go podcast. Check it out at PokemonGoPodcast.com. Still playing, still collecting. As a matter of fact, you got all the new Gen 2 baby Pokemon that you can hatch from eggs right now during this holiday season. So go out there and hatch a Togepi.
A Togepi, is that right?
A Togepi, yeah, that's one of the ones you can hatch.
I feel like I get that at the Korean barbecue.
Well, you can, and it's...
Ooh, I may have to get that today. We got this place right by us now that's so freaking amazing.
You went like 3 times last week or something.
I did. It was a real kind of a problem, and it's time for me to go back. So I'm going to go back. All right. Well, let's get to the news. We got some stuff here. A lady was denied something, and I'll tell you about it as soon as this thing works. There we go. A girl denied horse rides, instead got on a dairy cow naked. Yeah, it's probably not good. Well, not naked. Sorry.
Yeah, without a saddle.
Yes, bareback.
Yeah.
I keep conflating bareback and naked, but whatever.
there is a second meaning.
To bareback, right?
To bareback, yeah.
Yeah, it's not always just no saddle. When 11-year-old Hannah Simpson was told she couldn't have a horse because it was too expensive, she decided to jump on the next best thing instead, a dairy cow. She's now 18. Miss Simpson and her 7-year-old Swiss Brown best friend, Leela, have become a regular sight on the daily rides of the outskirts of South Island town of Invercargill, New Zealand's deep south. Haven't been there before. Don't know what it's like. She said...
the new south of New Zealand.
She says this, and I don't think the word has as negative a connotation in New Zealand, but she says, Lila was only 6 months then, and I was just a midget. Band meeting? It was a dare for my brother to jump on, and it seemed okay, and the cow seemed okay with it, so we kept going. Before then, I'd only ridden on a pony twice and a sheep. Recently, Mrs. Simpson taught the heifer to jump and said Lila could now scale obstacles up to 1.4 meters high, although only when she feels like it. Quote, she's a cow, and I expect her to ride like a horse. Band meeting? Without a bit of prodding, she wouldn't really do anything. She has a very chilled out nature, says Mrs. Simpson.
So when you ride a cow instead of horse, you just basically go where the cow wants to go. You don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Right. They don't give up shit. Cows. They don't care.
No, they don't. Exactly. It's like, yeah, where's the next patch of grass that I can eat?
Where's this thing I can eat? Where can I just randomly poo for no reason? How can I start, you know, stand in front of a car again for no reason? Right. That's how they think. You ever heard of Peterborough? Is that a place you're familiar with?
The name is definitely familiar. I don't know. It sounds like one of those places that could be anywhere, right? Peterborough.
Trying to find out if it's in New England, is it? That sounds right to me, too.
Cambridgeshire in England, in old England.
Oh, okay, even better.
Or in Ontario, or...
or somewhere else.
Yes, looks like you've got one in England and one in Ontario.
Well, a guy broke into a home there and defecated in the toilet and then didn't flush.
Oh, that's Canada.
Yeah, it's got to be Canada. No, nowhere else would they be this upset about this lack of courtesy.
Sorry about the lower decker.
Sorry about that. I didn't have time to flush. Thanks for the family jewels, though. Peterborough police are Peterborough police, the PP, are investigating a break and entering at the Stewart Street home and saw nothing stolen but an unpleasant present left in the homeowner's toilet. According to police, on December 27th, hold on, I'm scrolling. Here we go. The homeowner returned from a holiday break to find the home broken into. Police say the suspects broke the door open to gain entry. Nothing is reported stolen, but the owner believes the suspects defecated in their toilet and did not flush after. Police continue to investigate.
Nothing reported stolen. Like, yeah. They broke in just to poop.
Yeah, maybe they had to go that bad.
Yeah.
I just go outside if it's that bad.
Yeah, but I mean, if it was innocuous and you were just like, oh my God, there's no other houses nearby. Nobody's home. I can't get to a gas station. I've just got to go. I don't want to go in the front yard. I know I'll break into that house. But you know what? I'm not going to flush.
Yeah, I'm just going to leave. Oh, I feel so much better. Okay, we can leave now. Did you flush? Nah, it doesn't matter. That's fine. I broke into somebody's house and pooped there, but I didn't flush. What a loser. It says here, police. Now, I'm not saying they meant to be funny here, but the final line... is police continue to investigate the matter.
The fecal matter,
yeah.
I getcha.
HuffPo leaking
into the worst site ever. I should not have launched this site.
It's a bad site. Don't go to that site.
I know. Don't go to the mykawartha.com news.
Yeah, I wouldn't go there if I were you. A girl got married, got carried away dancing in a club. Carried and married is different. But doesn't realize her fake butt has fallen out. A video.
I didn't realize there's you can buy it. These are like
it's a thing you can do.
Falsies for your keister.
Yeah, false. It's supposed to make you have like Kardashian butt without the surgery.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, right.
I think. I don't know. I'm so not versed in such things that who knows. But yeah. A video of a girl whose fake buttock pad came out while she was dancing has gone viral. Olivia Borghese of Faircrest, Washington, USA, here in the USA. That's a strange last name, Borghese. That's probably it. Was attending a concert featuring rappers Busta Rhymes, DMX, and E-40 at the Tacoma Dome. What is this? The sweating to the oldies version of rap? Like, what's going on?
That's right.
It's weird.
Was LL Cool J and Cool Moe Dee not available for this thing?
Yeah, no kidding. Where are the fat boys?
Well,
Busta Rhymes, by the way, he does one of those tracks for that Hamilton mixtape thing.
Oh, right.
Him and the what are they called? The Roots. Did a version of Not Gonna Miss My Shot or whatever that song is. That was interesting to hear because I haven't heard Busta Rhymes in a very, very, very long
time. No, it's been a while. Yeah.
Been a while. And he says this. She was over in this corner dancing her A-off. She decided to film the video of the unidentified girl and post it online. In the video, the girl is seen dancing as the pads flap around at the top of her jeans. Olivia then zooms in to show the pads more clearly. She uploaded the video to her Facebook account with the caption, "Danced her ass off" on December 17th. It hit 13.8 million views. The next day, Olivia wrote on Facebook, woke up to a inbox full of thousands of friends requests and semi-viral video. Oh, shit, she says. Later, she said, well, it was fun while it lasted. I think the video hit 13.8 million views until Facebook took it down. Insane, but it's still YouTube. Or still on YouTube. Anyway, there's a video. Brian, you've probably seen it.
Yep, I'm looking at it right now. Well, I'm not looking at the video. I'm just looking at the photo.
Why would she want to? She doesn't need them. You don't need them. I mean, do what you want, but you don't need them. Hold on, I can't find the. I was going to try to show the chat, and it's just not working.
She's just twerking those things right out of there.
Yeah. I can't find. Okay, it's not. OBS isn't doing what I need to do. Sorry, folks. But it's just flapping around. She seems like a very nice lady. I feel a little bit bad. Like, if you had a little. I don't know. It's like when I was younger, for a long time when I was a kid, my mom, when I'd wear a tie, my mom would put a clip-on me. Mm-hmm. And you've seen those. You know about those, right?
Of course. Yeah.
I always worried somebody's going to run up and just yank it off my neck and expose me for the fraud that I was.
Right? Yeah.
That I couldn't tie a tie. But maybe this isn't quite the same as that when you're...
you know, I mean, it's like shoulder pads and falsies and...
Sure. I wear falsies right now. Can you see him? Can you tell?
I can totally tell. Yeah. You'd think she would have noticed the feeling that all of a sudden her pants are getting a little looser.
Yeah, or that there's a big rubber thing flopping around on your back.
Whacking you in the lower back, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Maybe she was just so into it, man. He had DMX up there. He was going to give it to you. X going to give it to you. And she heard that and thought, well, okay, I can't even feel my own butt cheek. I'm fine, everybody. Look at me. Woo!
I can't feel my butt when I'm with you. So looking on Amazon right now.
Yeah. Can you buy these?
Yeah, you can get fake butt fake bone buns, foam buns. Let's see. Anywhere from $7 to $15. And some of these I can't tell if they're some of these are obviously jokes. But some of these are
They're built into underwear. Like this one's called
built into the underwear. Exactly. Yeah.
Shaper panty. It says.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Look at that. So I guess the idea is to give it all a bunch of support and make it look like you have a perfect butt.
Right. Now there's some of these that are fake that look horrible.
Here's one. The grease stack. Ugh. The grease stack butt pads. Comfortable, removable silicone pads. New version. Soft and light. Miraculously sexy. Removable. Perfect fit. Will flop around if you dance too much. Oh, it doesn't say that. Wow.
Great. Wow. Oh, great. And now it's going to be like, based on your search for here, these are some recommendations we have for you. Next time I log in Amazon, I'm going to get that.
Oh, yeah. And everybody who tells me...
I should have logged in on Tina's Amazon.
Everyone who says, Scott, get your own profile on Netflix so your wife's stupid movie picks won't mess up your queue. I know you can do that. But I'm lazy about that. I don't want to do that. That seems like an extra step to do that. I don't want to do that.
Right. And don't forget the fact that with all our film sack viewing, those recommendations are going to be jank anyway for the four of us.
Yeah,
so.
I've already done it to myself.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Brian's right. I'm not doing it. I'm just leaving it one big profile. That's the way it is.
Right.
Final story today. A stinky German smell, burning smells were just a guy getting gold out of his phone. I like this story. I don't know why. It's super, super dumb.
There's gold in here.
There's gold in my phone. I hear there's gold in my phone. I must get it out. A German landlady's concerns about suspicious chemical odors from her tenant's apartment led police to a man who was trying unsuccessfully to extract gold from an old cell phone and computer circuit boards. I guess this thing that used to be able to do, there was a lot of gold in it. that stuff. Yeah. Not anymore,
gold
right?
contacts and whatnot, right?
So
sure.
It's not true now, is it, though? Can I, I don't know. If I broke open this Wacom, would it be full of little gold contacts?
I don't know. Hmm. Maybe if you had a rose gold iPhone, then you could do it.
Hey, hey. The women went to police in Brabach, near the city of Koblenz. On Wednesday, concerned that she hadn't seen her 28-year-old tenant for some time, police said Thursday that officers found a range of chemicals and at first suspected he was running an illegal drug lab. Perhaps he was making methamphetamine. Further checks and questioning of the tenant, who was on a trip to southern Germany, revealed that he had been using chemicals to try to extract gold. The man has gone to visit acquaintances or was gone there, including a physicist for advice. They suggested he give it up.
I love that.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
So how many liters of the blue liquid should I buy to extract the gold?
How much gold is in the sidekick I still have? I still have the pink sidekick.
Treo 650 has how much?
Oh, that is a lot of gold in the Treo.
All right. That's all well and good. We're going to take a song break. And when we come back, Wendy will be here. We're going to talk about, I don't know, something that's going to matter a lot in a couple of days. So exactly. I'll just give you, I'll leave you that hint. So do come back for that. But in the meantime, Brian, music, what do you got?
Speaking of those crazy foreigners, how about an Indie in the Middle song from one of them? This is a singer named Phil Bo Riva.
What? Riva. That's not a real name. Is that a real name?
It's a real name. Okay. And he, you know, prior to being a musician, he worked in kitchens or as a barkeeper in Munich, Madrid, and Rome, studying industrial design in Berlin, but decided, no, music. Music is my love. Mm. He's completely self-taught. And his debut EP, If You're Right, It's All Right, has just been released. It's available now. So if you like this, you can go buy it right away. You don't have to wait. You can buy it right now. This is his new song, Francis, and it is really, really good. It's kind of got a, oh my gosh, why can't I remember the name of the band? It's got a real deep voiced male lead singer, but kind of electronic, Bastille.
Oh,
kind
Bastille,
of a Bastille,
yeah,
feel
yeah.
to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like them.
Yeah, I do too. And I think you'll like this too. Here is Phil Bo Riva and Francis.
Dancing on your knees, my sweet baby, you look at me and tease. I look back to you and I see you moving on the floor. To see me more, you come down to me, please me, then you leave me teasing other men, playing games because you can, playing games and then you go. You know, love me, now love you more.
You speak to my head,
and I'll treat you gold.
Don't believe me,
and I'll love you all.
You feel me,
cause I'm a madman and that's all I know. Yeah, I'm a madman and that's all I know. You play me like a game. Lip sync to me. You really feel no shame. You dance around me and you guide me like mojo, let it storm. You think I'm yours. You move around me, I see you behind me, dressed in skinny red. Do miss what you said, but you're lying in your head. In your head. imaginary dancing. I thought of you romancing. Oh, fancy. Tonight we're going dancing. Alone in my dream mansion. And no one will be chasing. Let me know, let me know.
I really want to watch Westworld, but the only thing my partner wants to watch is goddamn Fuller House.
Passengers, beep, beep, boop, ba-doop.
The Morning Stream. They sleeps in the raw with their ma and pa.
All right, we're back, everybody. That was cool. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff from Philbo Riva, F-I-L-B-O-R-I-V-A.
So I've had a really odd experience this morning with Twitter. Like, literally this morning, I put a list of, like, some of the worst human catastrophes in history.
Oh, no.
And I tried, and my point was, hey, as much as we're sad about what's happening in 2016, the loss of these pop icons and things like that, it's really not all that bad. Here's just a little perspective. That's the all I was saying was, hey, let's have a broader view of time. I don't want to be like my mother-in-law where I see one thing happen and think the world's ending. I don't want to be end times third eagle, right? I don't want to be that guy. So my whole point was, hey, have a positive outlook. Look at when things are actually not all that bad.
And don't worry, there's other crappy...
And everyone thinks I'm making some sort of personal attack on their morning of 2016. Everybody needs to just back that truck up, read my tweet in the actual words I'm saying it in, and don't take it so personally. That's not what it was intended to be. I'm not saying anybody else shouldn't mourn the loss of Carrie Fisher or her mother, which is crazy. That was crazy. Oh,
that was so crazy. Yeah, Tina came into the shop last night working with Mark and said, Debbie Reynolds just died. I'm like, Debbie Reynolds?
The day after her daughter. Yeah.
Debbie Reynolds. The woman who was providing us with the updates on Carrie Fisher and didn't seem to be in horrible health herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so surprising.
Just so shocking. Like, I couldn't believe that. I guess what I'm saying is I'm with you guys. I'm with you people. There's no reason to get mad at me.
Yeah.
I'm as sad about these people dying as anybody. I'm trying to just have some perspective, and then I thought I'd share that. Oh, here's some perspective. And then suddenly I'm the douchebag. I don't get it. I don't understand that. Anyway, whatever. Take it for what you want. Let's let's get Wendy up in here and make something out of that. Watch keeps buzzing. Why? Oh. You're having a conversation with one Daryl Skeels about a speaker.
I replied back and then sent him a photo during the song. I sent it during the song.
It's all good. All right, let's see. We're calling her now. Right. And we'll get Wendy in here and see what's up.
Oh, did she? Yeah, we got to see if she got her chocolate, because this thing has been sitting here. I've been wanting to eat this chocolate bar for weeks.
Oh, I have a confession to make about that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we'll get that in a second. Yeah. Okay. Hey, hello, Wendy. Hello.
Hello. Oh. Did you say you have a confession?
Yeah, I have a confession. You want to hear my confession? I can tell you. You can be my Catholic priest for a minute. All right. You ready?
Yeah, no one else is listening, so that's cool.
Yeah, it's totally fine. So, Wendy, did you get the candy bar yet? That's the question. Did you get that?
No.
Okay, so it's on its way. It was prepaid and all that, so it should be somewhere in transit. You know, it was sent right before Christmas, so, you know, who knows? Yeah. That may mean it's delayed. What the deal was you and I and Brian were supposed to eat these candy bars on the air once we got them. You're getting the therapy bar. We're getting these other two that are, you know, good or whatever. I may have forgotten the purpose of mine and eaten it anyway. So I have to at least confess that I ate mine. And
which is funny because it's chocolate therapy. Yeah. So you're
yeah. He needed it. Break in case of emergency.
Yeah, maybe I needed it. Maybe I really needed it. That's what I'm going to stick with. All right. Hey, yeah. Wendy, how was Christmas? Things good?
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
It's a great land of Christmas there in Sweden, is my understanding.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're into it.
So here's something weird that I think about. The logistics of this is amazing to me. Every house with kids, Santa comes on Christmas Eve and brings the presents himself. You see him.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
really?
Think of that logistically, how that works.
Yeah, no, it's intense, right?
Yeah, every neighbor, everyone owns their own suit. Like, it is a thing.
So is
anyway,
that?
Anyway, I'm always like, people are like, oh, are you doing the American version or Swedish? I'm like, I don't know how you people pull off the Swedish version. We're doing the he came in the night.
Yeah, while you were asleep. Yeah, you're supposed to be asleep. Listen, that seems like the more pragmatic approach, but I like that others are still toeing the old school way. I think that's cool.
Yeah, it's impressive.
So their kids have to see that there was a jolly red giant in the living room putting stuff under a tree?
The majority, no, they bring them and give them the presents, and like he brings the presents with him. That's the present you get.
Oh,
it's not like you get more. It's whatever he brings with him.
Oh.
So you don't get presents from family at all. It's all from Sinterklaas.
Well, you can still give gifts to each other, but the idea is that
what do they call him there? It's not just Santa Claus, right?
It's like
he's an elf. Tomta is the word for elf. Yule Tomta is Christmas elf.
Christmas, so they call him the Christmas elf. All right, that's weird.
Oh, really? So it's not okay.
It's Will Ferrell comes to your house and
he's like a troll, kind of. Yeah.
Really.
No.
Is he like,
not like an ugly troll? Like a cute one.
But he's not like otherworldly. Like, does he have pointy ears and all that, or is he just a fat guy? Like, what's the?
No, he's not. I mean, the people who are playing Santa come to the house that play him are people, obviously, right?
You're right.
But the way they depict him is often like just a little more magical creature than a human. But
I like that.
Dobby.
The kids like the human that comes to
Dobby
their house
in a
with
red
presents,
suit,
so.
A big fat Dobby, yeah. I like the sound of that.
Dobby.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad it happened. Kids had a good time, yeah? It was all fun.
Yeah, they did. They had a great time. We got Abe an Xbox One.
Whoa.
Ooh.
After how many years of begging?
Yeah.
He passed out. He couldn't breathe for a good... Because he thought this would never happen. He'd have to buy his own.
Yeah.
And now I'm wishing that's what we had stuck with.
Yeah, of course.
When he started begging for that, it was truly an Xbox One. Before the 360, before the new one.
Yeah, it's 19. The year was 2000. And
that's right.
He wanted a Nintendo, whatever the first one was.
Right.
Yeah, it's bad.
The one I was playing.
Anyway,
when I was a
kid. Now I can't find any games that are not just pure murder. So if anyone can send me some suggestions for children,
well,
that'd be great.
I would have suggested a PlayStation 4, given that there is a ton of weird creative stuff in there that's not just about killing and death. But that's different. That's a whole different platform. You certainly can find a lot of that stuff on the Xbox as well. But yeah, maybe I'll make you a list and I'll check
that'd
it twice nice. And then I'll send it
that'd
to
be
you.
Wonderful. Thank you.
All right. Well, it's Wendy. She's my sister, but she's also a therapist. She helps people every day with real problems and comes here on Thursdays and does the self same thing. So today we're a little more generalized in our topic. Plus, we're going to check in on some emails for some homework that some of the listeners did based on a previous episode. But we're going to start with this conversation I thought would be good to have, given that this is our last day of shows before the new year. What people tend to do is everybody starts getting excited about resolutions. Like they start making lists of, this is the year I'm going to lose 50 pounds. This is the year I'm going to get a new job. This is the year I'm going to whatever, right? Like all these big life-altering things that they really should have been doing before, or at least you feel like you should be doing them before, but you're now, since it's a new year, it's a fresh start to have a new goal and to really double down on it. And many, many people... like maybe most people who do this end up being very disappointed in themselves within a month or two because they can't keep up with whatever high standard they set for this new year. Now, there's certainly, you know, outliers who, you know, I don't know, whatever their goal is. Let's say it's to never eat meat again and they never do. Or I'm going to quit smoking in 2016 and they started January 1st and they've never smoked again. Like those people exist. But I think there's lots of us who just don't. right? We've faltered.
Gym memberships go way up in the beginning of January, and by March, you're back to normal levels of how many people are in the gym.
That's true. And how will I ever see that guy again that was going, eat, eat, which is a story when he doesn't know.
Once January hits, he's not going to be able to find a treadmill to eat on.
Yeah, he's not going to be able to eat anywhere. Anyway, that's a long story, Wendy. I'll tell you some other time. But anyway, so the point is, it's hard, right? It's hard to keep your commitment. It's hard to do it. There's got to be some psychology to A, why we do it, B, why we fail at it, and C, why we shouldn't set ourselves up for that kind of failure. Or maybe there's a happy medium where we can whittle down to a thing that makes the most pragmatic sense for the next year. Or why do we do it on the first anyway? Why aren't we in the middle of April going, all right, my April's resolutions are, like, why do we have to have this artificial beginning of the year sort of thing going on?
Okay, I'll answer that. But first, I have to tell you, 1 year I decided I was going to spread it out. So I had every month I had a new thing I had to work on just for the month.
Yeah.
And by August, I was like, freaking hate this. I don't want to do it anymore.
Wow.
Even though they were totally different things each month, right? Because I kind of have a form of like life ADD where I'm like, yeah, that's boring. I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
And so I thought, if I did it every month, great. And really, it still gets exhausting.
Eight months, though. I'm impressed. 8 months is a long time. Yeah.
Sure.
It's better than February 1st, right? Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing that I think is the setup behind all of this, psychologically speaking, is, let me ask both of you, did you happen to overeat in the last week?
Yes.
Yes.
I did happen to do that.
And did you happen to sneak a candy bar unconsciously eating? Yeah, exactly. So what happens is we are gluttons at Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa or whatever. We just eat. We get together. It's the middle of winter for most of us, I guess, on the other side of the world. Maybe they're wearing bikinis, so it's different. But you're hibernating a little bit. You're watching more movies. You're surrounded by yummy food maybe. And you just indulge. So by this, the days between Christmas and New Year's in Sweden, they call them, the translation is between days. And I keep calling them the middle days. Like it's this where you just feel awful, but you can't stop eating the peanut brittle, right? It's just still in front of you.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Taint, so you have all of that that leads up to the first. And again, it's that thing you said, Scott, about it's a new year. It's a new date on the calendar, 2017. Did you guys ever think 2017 would be a real thing? Here it is.
Yeah, no kidding.
What are we going to do with it? So it's a combination, I think, of that feeling kind of disgusted with ourselves a week before this shift into, you know, another year of life. I'm going to turn another year older, et cetera. I think that's the setup is, for most people, is the sort of a combination of some of those things. But there's some interesting things about people who make New Year's resolutions, who keep them, who don't. So I'm going to give you some statistics that I thought were interesting.
Okay.
So this is Americans only. I'm sure everyone else has versions of this. But Americans particularly, we have a very, like, get it done attitude. Like, what do you do? What do you accomplish? Money sort of vibe to us versus I don't know what other countries do.
Right.
I will take a survey at my New Year's party this year. I'll find out what Swedes think.
That's your resolution, is to do that.
That is my only thing I have to do. Wouldn't that be, I will succeed. That'll be great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Americans who usually make New Year's resolutions is only about 45%.
Okay.
So more than half the population isn't doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess is they did it once or twice and were like, that was stupid. I think some of it is families. Like, we do this thing. I mean, Adam and I are both resolution makers and we both try, and a couple years ago I'm like, this is dumb, I'm gonna stop doing this. But up till that point I was pretty consistent at challenging myself to some new thing. And we do this fun thing with the kids where we trace their hands, and so we have a record of their hands as they grow.
Mm-hmm.
And on each of the fingers they write a goal for the year, so they have 5 goals, and then at the end of the year they get $5 if they have accomplished any of the goals. And here's the fun thing. When you're little, that's a ton of money. But when you're 20, it's not that much money.
Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't seem like it has the same heft when you're 20.
It's funny then, and there's no such thing as it's not going to inflate nothing. It's staying at 5. Anyway,
right.
But it's cute to see their goals of like walk or speak right. or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
They're better. I think they're going to be better at creating achievable goals, right?
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah. when I write, like, you know, stop horking peas out of your nose, and then they do that naturally because they grow up. It's like, yay, here's $5. Granted, I haven't given them any money until they knew what money was. So right, I was, right. I cheated.
So okay. wait a minute. So they, but also then you have this rad stack of paper at the end that shows a hand growing over
yeah.
a bunch of years. That's awesome. I've never thought
and
of that.
And hilarious things like, you know, wipe your own butt on multiple years for yeah. one kid. I will just say that.
Yeah. I bet I know which kid. Sure.
Yeah. And so you have this, like, we are setting them up to think about New Year's resolutions. Like, I'm priming the pump for this to be a thing they do in their life and or hate and rebel against. So, right. I don't know. Yeah. So some of it is maybe your parents' influence or your friends. If you have a lot of people around you saying like, okay, what are you doing? Et cetera. Okay. So we've got 45% of Americans usually make New Year's resolutions, 17% infrequently make them. So here or there. And then 38% never make them. Absolutely never refuse. Interesting.
Right.
8% of people are successful in achieving their resolution.
8%?
8% total or 8% of the people who make them?
Who make them. Yes. Okay. So 8% okay. of those who make them. Do not achieve them.
So those 35.
I'm sorry.
35% of Americans who make the, whatever the number was. Who 45. Make, 45% who make these resolutions. 8% of that total group completes their goal. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So not great.
Yeah.
And then that's of the 45. The people who infrequently make the resolutions, this is interesting. They have success 49% of the time. Mm-hmm. So it's us doing it every year. Mm-hmm. It's not good for us. Apparently we should randomize this. Interestingly, yeah. maybe we save up our willpower for a few years and then do it. I don't know.
Well, Kim's right. doing Kim's doing this thing with a couple of her friends and her sister, and I swear every year they're doing something new, and I think they kind of succeed at it. Like last year, Kim's was, I'm gonna get a trainer and go to the gym 3 days a week and do training plus all this other stuff on the side, and I'm gonna have these goals, and she's met them. Like she's actually done it.
Yeah.
And I guess she's one of the 8%. But I don't know how she did it. Like I still, to this moment, don't know where she got that motivation from. Because when I think of it, and there is a real pull, I feel like a almost a physical pull that says, Scott, have some goals, put them down for the first of the year, and let's do this. Even sure. though I know maybe one of the 10 will get done.
But there's a right. difference between a goal and a resolution, I think, right? Like saying, all right, by the end of the year, I'm going to have this thing done. I'm going to have this card game done, or I'm going to have this book written, or whatever. I'm going to have this website finished. Da 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 da. But saying, all right, every Thursday starting January 1st, I'm going to go on a 2 mile run. You know, it's a lot easier, I think, to say, okay, here's this end result, and I can say I'm going to do a little bit on this month, do a little bit on it next month, do a little bit on the following month, as opposed to nope, I'm going from 0 to 60 the very first week yes. of 2017, and I'm not going to stop for 52 weeks.
And yes. I think
that's what makes it harder to do.
So weight related resolutions are the 38% of all goals are about weight resolutions. Oh, wow. 38% seems low to me, actually. I would think it would be higher than that, but
yeah, no kidding.
That,
yeah.
And what happens is that our minds are stupid this way. It took us years to get as fat as we are and as out of shape as we are. And we're expecting like to be 17 again or something and jump on a treadmill mm-hmm. 5 days a week starting in right. January and not injure ourselves or exactly. have it happen quicker or like it's just going to melt off like it did when I was 12 or whatever. And so you get discouraged really easy with health and weight goals because we, like you said, 0 to 60. 0 to 60 doesn't work with anything.
No.
Because you can't maintain 60. It's right. just not even possible.
Right.
But like you're saying, the longer term goals, that's a different thing. So Scott, maybe mm-hmm. your the draw is more like, yeah, I want to accomplish some things this year. And you just have to be more thoughtful instead of making a list of, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So hold on really quick. Let mm-hmm. me give you the other stats. So people who have infrequent success, these are ones who with the random New Year's resolutions. here or there. They have 49% success, which is great. And then the percent who never succeed and fail on their resolution each year is 24% because they never made the resolution.
Right.
I don't know what that means.
Right.
Okay, so here's the ways that people do it. Self-improvement or education-based ones, self-improvement, that type of thing, 47% of most resolutions.
That makes sense.
Weight-related is 38%.
Mm-hmm.
Money-related, 34%.
Okay.
And relationship-related, 31%.
Wow, it's like the laundry list of things that we're always talking about on here.
It totally is, yeah.
That's hilarious to me. I mean, it makes sense. Yeah. This is the human condition, right? You're basically listed the four checkboxes that are constant things in this life.
Right.
That's crazy.
And then the age, this is really interesting to me, the age success rates. So percentage of people in their 20s who achieve their resolution is 39%. Mm-hmm. People over 50 who achieve their resolutions each year is 14%.
Oh my. Is it because the younger ones have less stuff to worry about so they can actually do it, or they get more energy? Like what do you think the difference is there?
Well, how easy was it for you to lose weight when you were 20 versus you at 47?
All right. That's a really good point.
Point taken.
Yeah. In fact, I kept my goal by not even having a goal because I just burned fat like it was nothing. And now I don't. Right. So, yeah.
Right. You had a goal of gaining weight and often failed at that.
Yeah, that's true. I was trying to gain weight, especially in high school, and I couldn't do it.
Trying to bulk up.
Yep.
Just get a bulk up. Okay. And then how long people usually survive? Through the first week, 75% survive. They make it through their resolution for a week. 2 weeks is 71%. Past a month, 64%. Past 6 months,
46%.
Mm. I'm impressed anyone gets past 46%. Yeah. So, okay. So we do it because we want to improve. But what's interesting, and this is the point I was thinking about this, like, what can I say about this that's mildly helpful? I don't know.
Right.
I feel like one of our problems as a species is that we have this idea of what will make us happy. And this is true across every single aspect of our lives. There's a certain amount of money we think will make us feel calm and content. And that's not usually real. We think a way to look or how much we weigh or, the way, maybe it's the response of, feedback at work or whatever, the status of our relationships. We think all of these things will make us happy.
It's the greener grass thing, right? Like it's just, this promotion, my life will be better. If I have this money, my life will be better. If I get married, my life will be better, right?
Right. But whenever those things happen, there's always something else in front of it that you can then just replace that with, because it's a state of mind more than it is based on any facts. But it's something everyone has experienced and a lot of people really struggle with. So I was thinking, okay, is there a weight? Because that's what I think most resolutions are made about. Like, I'm going to get to this weight so that I can achieve what, nirvana? Like, what is it we really think we're going after? Mm-hmm. And if you take the thing you're really going after and then ignore the stuff that is lying to you that tells you it'll get you there, and then really think about what would get you there. So for example, you want to feel, this would be a great one for weight related. I want to love my body. Mm. What?
Mm.
Now that would take so much more work than going to the gym, because the gym won't ever give that to you.
No, I know people who are hotties who don't like their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Hotties that don't like their bodies.com. That sounds like a great sounds like a good support group.
Right. Totally.
But yeah, like there's this really frustrating thing. So small aside. Nick's like, I'm too skinny, or I'm not quite tall enough, or I'm too short, or whatever the thing is, right? And we look at him and go, man, he is like a good looking, tall, built kid. Like he's got muscle that I never had. Like he's just a good looking specimen, and all the girls think so, but he still doesn't think so, right?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have this vision of himself. And I think back to when I was his age, and I absolutely did not have that vision of myself, like not even close. But here's the funny thing. I'll go back through some old family photos and go, I was an okay looking kid. Look at me on the beach in California. I look fine. Like, what was wrong with me? I saw myself as this noodly, goofy, whatever. Just nobody would ever want to look at and go, oh, he's attractive. Like that just never crossed my mind when I was that age. But I look at back at it now, I'm like, I'm such an a-hole. I could have been totally fine if I just would have seen me for who I was. So that feels so fundamental. That feels so like hard to pry off your basic humanity and not think of it, of yourself that way.
Well, right. And, so what would that have done to your personality, though, if you would have seen yourself as...
I don't know. But see, that's a good question, right? Like, yeah, would I have been... You know,
the humility that kind of shapes us, too, that...
would I have been a huge jerk or something?
Right.
Maybe.
Damn, I'm good looking.
Look at this body.
Well, Brian, you bring up an awesome point, which is we know arrogance and we know self-deprecating. We don't know healthy, like, or just neutral, like... That your body, how it looks, how much it weighs, its shape, does not determine your value as a person. That's the thing that's rare. Mm-hmm. So it's one thing to be like, oh, I'm ugly. And then it's another to be like, I'm amazing. Either of those are not true or good, right? Mm-hmm. It's the part that sort of mysterious middle ground where you're fine. Mm-hmm. Like, and you're comfortable in your skin and the world's moving ahead and you're fine. Right. Yeah. And you don't eat something and think I'm a bad person or, you know, the shame that comes from, you know, all that junk that can come with food and body image and stuff.
Right.
That wouldn't that be amazing? So I'm asking everyone to make their resolutions about enlightenment. Sorry, I'm kind of setting the bar high. OK, so I love your body. What else is in that category, though, of it's all the other stuff we chase is supposed to get us the thing. But what is the thing?
Okay.
So as money, everyone wants to save more money, spend less money. Mm-hmm. What is the thing we're actually chasing when it comes to money?
When it comes to money,
feeling free of credit card debt and being, you know, not living paycheck to paycheck, probably, I guess.
Yeah.
Sure.
So freedom would be I think that's a great word.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Freedom's what you're chasing there, probably. Or, boy, this is such a good question. Because
are you looking for us to say the word happiness, Wendy?
No,
we just want to achieve happiness at the end of this.
I have no ulterior motives here, to get you guys to fill out my resolution list this year.
for me, it's with financial security. It's just always knowing that you got enough for whatever you need, and I don't mean what you want, but what you need. So. If something horrible medically happens, you want to make sure you you have some sort of catch-all for that. If your kid's teeth get knocked out on the cement for some reason and you need to get into the dentist, you don't have to incur a $30,000 bill because you've got insurance or whatever. Like whatever the safety nets are, for me, it's a lot of that. I feel like so much of my financial jitteriness of my adult life comes from watching dad go through all the financial trouble he went through, and we lost the house and, you know, the motorhome and the boats and all that stuff, and went from, you know, fancy Royal Lane people to we have to go rent some place up in Sandy we don't like, and, you know, watch dad be depressed. Like, I never wanted to do that again. I never wanted to go through that. And so it's funny because in so many ways I've achieved that. We're moderate and very modest in what we do and how we live here. And we don't make crazy choices that are super expensive or anything like that. It's all very measured and thought out, but I'm no more happy financially than I think I would be if I was taking 50 risks to Sunday and constantly just chucking money around at ideas and things and doing it poorly. I'm not sure I'm any happier than that because I still have that feeling of like, okay, are we good? Are we good? Are we good? Are we good? Yeah. Like, you're always asking if you're good. And I don't know that ever ends. I'm guessing that there are people with millions of dollars who keep asking if they're good, if they're good, if they're good.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think the average person doesn't know how much work it is to worry about so much more money. You know, like I think we idealize what that is. We think that's freedom, but I guess you think about how much more you got to manage. It seems stressful to me, but maybe the translation, at least in my head, is I have enough. I am enough. Like the enough word, like sufficient. This is good. Mm-hmm. Or, and that would apply to lots of areas, but maybe the financial one is it's enough.
But is it even possible to get past? And I know it's different culturally. So you're gonna have different intensities in different parts of the world, but is it even possible for us to get to a place where anything is ever enough? In other words, isn't it part of the human imperative to constantly be exploring, seeking, finding, pushing?
No, elevating? That is part of the American imperative. I mean, that I think is if the one thing I have learned having space between me and my motherland is how ingrained it is in us as a people to strive for more. And I think of that as, you know, I'm currently reading this book about all the Swedes that left Sweden in the 1800s who were so poor and destitute here. And, you know, thousands of years of their people farm the same land and they needed a new opportunity. And so they left the town they'd never left and they went to America and started a life. And it's like those are the roots of every immigrant who ever came to the United States came for a reason that has something to do with striving, right? Yeah. So for better, for more, for, and I don't mean that in a greedy way, just in a, you know, a basic human
right.
need way, but we descend from them. We don't descend from, you know, the Brits who stayed in their little cottages or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like it's kind of a character genetic thing that we have. Mm. So I would answer that. I don't think it's everyone, but I think it's a problem because there is, if there's no limit when we're ever happy or enough, what are we going to, how do you, that's 325 million people. It's not enough. Like, oh, what do you do with that? Right. And not to say every other culture has it right. Believe me, everyone else has their own baggage and their own stuff and their own whatever. But, it is pretty, I don't know. I've met a lot of Swedes, like their dream is to live in a small little house with a garden and peace and quiet. They are hobbits. They just want peace and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're like, they're enough is that it's silent.
Yeah.
Right. And that is not culturally the same as most people I know in America. Right. So, right. I don't know. Interesting.
It actually sounds all right. The quiet farm thing.
The hermit life kind yeah. of, yeah.
Yeah, I've always been of two minds. I've always been of two extremes. Like if my ultimate retirement is either in a high-rise loft apartment downtown in the middle of everything, or it's in a way out 2 hours from anywhere farm in the middle of nowhere. Like those are my two those are my two things I think I would like the most. And I don't know why I think that, and they're probably, you know, like a lot of these things, false desires or whatever, but I have this sense that I want one of the two extremes. I want a place where I have access to everything and anything anytime I want it all the time, and it's that kind of intensity, or it's just get up, make sure the pigs are fed,
you know, time for milking.
Yeah, time for milking.
Milk the cows and have breakfast.
Milk
and
the pigs.
Yeah, and then just sort of read my paper on the porch, and I don't know, there's something about that that's also very appealing. It's really weird. I've always felt a little bipolar that way.
Can I tell you a crazy thing that happened to me today? Totally unrelated.
Yeah.
So my friend from Syria was over and we were talking about various things today and playing video games because the kids wanted to play with him.
Yeah.
And he says out of nowhere, he's like, can you describe bacon to me? And my first thought is, I want my brother Scott here. Because, of course, Muslims don't eat pork and he's never had bacon, never smelled the glory of bacon.
No.
And he's a teacher and he was doing something with a class and this image for a crossword puzzle came up of bacon. He's like, I have no idea what that is. He had to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, help me understand this. So I spent 10 minutes trying to explain bacon and I'm drooling by the end. And he's like, you are the weirdest. I'm like, I don't know how to explain it to you. It's just the greatest thing.
Do you worry, like, if you explain it too well, he's going to fall off the wagon and, like,
yes!
they're going to find him in a closet with a plate full of
And I'm showing him pictures. I'm like,
greasy
is this
fingers.
Bad?
And...
Yeah. I'm like, am I tempting you too much? He goes, no. I'm like, yeah. But how not? But let me, if I cooked it, it would. He's like, maybe, yeah. But I don't think so. I'm like, oh my gosh, it is heaven.
Yeah.
So I was thinking of Scott because we are bacon fighting freak shows.
Oh my gosh. It never was enough bacon growing up, ever. Like there, it didn't matter how much my mom made. She could make 12 plates of the stuff stacked high, and it still wouldn't have been enough for all of the siblings
true.
To get along and like not fight over the last piece of bacon. It was terrible.
See, weight loss goals. Stop eating
yeah,
bacon.
Yeah,
I've
bacon.
Often said I could be a vegetarian if it weren't for bacon
yeah.
and steak.
Carter is actually, there. You know how Carter's been a vegetarian since she was like 10 or something. And she'll eat a little fish, but that's it. And so she can't even be in the room if bacon's cooking because it makes her feel so sick. She hates it. She can't stand it. I don't know. I know. I don't understand what's wrong with her.
It's a revulsion.
I could eat a pound of it right now, and it could be oily and terrible, and I'd still love it. But she can't even be in the same room as that stuff. So Anyway.
I think we have a problem with bacon. Okay, anyway, back to the topic. What
yeah.
were we saying?
No more bacon for 2017. That was our goal.
There you go. That's okay, my resolution.
let me ask Brian something. So, Brian, as we're talking about resolutions, do you have some in mind? Are you sort of thinking ahead to this and going, blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, I mean, it's, and it's sadly, it fits right into the thing you were describing, the number one highest percentage of resolutions made, which is the self-improvement educational thing. I've got a subscription to an online class thing, and I'm trying to learn things like PHP and get a deeper understanding of CSS and MySQL and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so it's saying, all right, every week I'm going to take a couple hours, plan a couple hours, no freelance, no podcasting, and actually do as much of a class as I can, and then wrap that up the next time and blah, blah, blah. But basically have some weekly time dedicated to going through these classes and learning some coding skills that I currently don't have.
Okay. So I know all those words, which is amazing, right? Okay. Just really happy about
that. Because you're married to Adam. He does all that.
I am. And I've listened, guys. I had to work really hard to listen to the boringest words. Just kidding. But I do know those words. And here's the thing. Sure. I want to know, because I'm doing this live with you, because this is what people need when they have resolutions.
Yeah.
What is the number one thing that's likely to get in your way? What do you suspect is going to get in your way?
Emergency project from client X that I've got, maybe I've got 2 hours set aside on Monday. All right, cool. Going to start this at 2 p.m., end at 4 p.m., and then still have some time at the end of the day to wrap up some other things. But freelance client says, oh, hey, that thing you did on Friday, we need to make a change. It needs to go out tonight. So can you make that change now? And it's going to be like, okay, well, I'll push the CSS training until 3 and do 3 to 5. And then this takes a little bit longer. Oh, no, we have one more fix we need made. Can you do that? That's totally it. It's going to be interruptions that are quote unquote out of my control.
And fires that are bigger than this little baby CSS fire.
Right.
Okay. Question. Yeah. Is 2 hours reasonable time to make for yourself?
For sure. Yeah, I think so. 2 hours is, are you saying is that enough or is that too much?
Is it too much to ask?
Oh, might be. Might be the problem. But I also know that it takes me more than 15 minutes, like between 15 minutes and 30 minutes to really get into something. And free myself from any other thoughts and distractions and things like that. I need to be sitting down for something with more for almost 30 minutes before I am completely engrossed in that thing and without any distractions.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you to do one thing. Switch your must do to 1 hour.
Okay.
But keep some cushion so it actually is 2 hours available to you.
Sure.
But the hour has to be done. Okay. So now here's a trick to do that. Well, part of what you're describing, and this is true for so many of us, is that our attention is pulled in millions of directions.
Yeah.
And we don't know how to turn everything off. So you would need to book that on your calendar. So there's a couple things. Book it on your calendar so it is a regularly spaced whatever. That means your email, your pinging, everything's off. Mm-hmm. Right. And you treat it as if it's a paid client. Well, I have if I have an appointment with a client, I can't do something else while I'm talking to them. That doesn't work. Like I'm forced to be present instead of distracted. That's not how it works. But you guys with computer stuff, you can switch from screen to screen to screen back and forth. So the other thing might be that you create during that 2-block hour or the hour you have to do, you close all your tabs and you have one thing you look at. Nothing else is accessible.
A distraction-free space. No other apps
like
open,
paper.
Phone turned off.
telling Brian to turn off all of his tabs is actually, that is a hard call because he has so many tabs open. Brian, right now, how many tabs do you have open in your browser?
Right now, honestly, I have 8 tabs open.
8 tabs.
One of which is my CSS Code School membership.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes there have been days where you've had 15, 20 tabs.
Oh,
open.
Yeah. No, 8 right now. And that's the thing. I mean, it would be so easy for me to say, all right, one of them is this 25 best movies of 2016 and where they're streaming. It's like, okay, I need that list, but I can copy and paste that list into a document, put it on the refrigerator upstairs so Tina and I can figure out when we can watch those, right? I mean, there's so many ways.
Because what you've done is you've left a tab of a to-do.
A task, right, yeah.
Yeah, right kind of at the edge of your consciousness and adds to your overall stress load. So there's things like that you just nailed that you can reduce.
I'm so bad at using my desk as a to-do list. Right here, here's the thing I need to stick onto my laptop that I got for Christmas. Here is the thing I need to paint that I 3D printed last year that finally needs to get painted. You know, it is a very distraction full workspace that is that is a big visual to-do list that's always in my face, and I need to get away from that.
Right.
All right. And there's my resolution, like Wendy. Fine. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. Well, psychological space is also what it takes up. So
yeah, I can't do anything about that.
But one thing at a time here. We're still working on CSS. Okay. So here's another thing that you can add to this. I think I've talked about on the show before. But it's the concept of temptation bundling. So you are tempted to work for a client instead of do your CSS class. That's one of your temptations, right? Now we need to bundle it with another temptation that is your favorite show or your, like, what is something you're tempted to do, but you really should do something else instead, but it's very tempting to do.
Oh, that's good. It's, man, you know, video games have become such a, I know, cover your ears, listeners, but video games have become such a secondary or tertiary thing to me right now, where it's like, I don't even think about getting into World of Warcraft until it's 15 minutes before raid time. And I realize, oh, I haven't done any dailies or anything like that. Even playing regular video games,
still a huge temptation for me. That's my big problem. I'm like, oh, I could stress about this thing right now, or I could play Diablo for a half an hour. Why not? You know?
Right.
Okay. So time. Brian, it's not video games. So what is it? What's the thing you're tempted to escape into?
Jeez.
A bowl of candy.
Well, I do have a candy dish also here on my to-do desk.
It's your to-do item, number 50.
To-do item. Yeah. Eat a piece of candy. Trying to think of, like, sure. All right, let me inspire you.
I'll give you an idea.
All right.
Okay, so say you are tempted to skip going to the gym and that's your goal. You want to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. And then you're also tempted to drop everything you're doing and watch your favorite Netflix original series. So what you do is you combine those two temptations. You can only watch your Netflix original series while you're at the gym.
While I'm on the treadmill. That worked really well for a while. I was playing a little mobile game that didn't require, you know, basically required a tap every few seconds, but nothing that had to be exact and reacting to things and Twitch gaming kind of thing. But it was more like I can kind of be on the treadmill running or walking fast and alternating back and forth and just tap on that character to have it do what I need it to do and just keep on going. And for a while that worked. And then I got sick of that game and I had to switch to trying to find something else to keep myself entertained on the treadmill.
Right. So I do this with podcasts. I love podcasts and I listen to a ton of them, and I am only allowed to listen to them while I am doing some kind of household chore that I hate.
By the way, she is only allowed to listen to podcasts that are not produced by her brother. That's important. That's an important thing to mention.
That's correct. Right. Yeah. That is correct. Anyway, yeah. So this is an idea. I mean, I don't know, Brian. You got to think about this. What can you tie this to? But this can be really effective, people, when your two temptations are bound together. You have to, of course, decide that they are. But what's great is that you have this association conditioning that happens, which is the gym becomes more pleasant because you're watching this thing you love, right?
Right.
And you'll be more excited to get yourself to the gym. Because what happens is this is why resolutions don't work. We have a limited supply of willpower, and we all think we have an endless supply on January 1st, and we don't. And so we go running out the gate, and then we're out by February 1st and back to just whatever. And then we feel crappy about ourselves that we couldn't do that one thing. Yeah. And so it's really like this dumb, vicious cycle. So, you know, people got to decide what they want to do. If you have a resolution, make it as successful as possible by clearing out all, ask yourself, what's the thing that's going to make this fail for me? And then address that. Like, start with the, what I already know about myself. And maybe in your 20s, you don't know that much about yourself. So you just keep going and you have willpower. I don't know.
Yeah. But, now, is it less successful?
People don't make them.
Go ahead, Brian.
Is it less successful to tie in that that dedicated activity, that resolution, with a reward system as opposed to simultaneous? For example, the training thing, the code school thing I want to do. Obviously, I can't do that while I'm playing a video game or watching a Netflix show or you know, any other thing to be distracted. Exactly. I need to be 100% focused. So, but is it less effective to say, okay, if I do my 1 hour of training every week, can I then, you know, go have an ice cream at Dairy Queen or something? Or, I mean, totally. maybe not a food related thing, but some sort of reward after the fact.
Right. That's what you would have to do in something like that, because you can't obviously do them at the same time. Mm-hmm. But you tie it to it and you stick to it. So maybe it's that you have your favorite something that you like to do on the weekend, and mm-hmm. you usually reserve it for the weekend. Mm-hmm. Or you're tempted every night, but you know, whatever. Then you just tie it to, I can't do it until my class is done. So I learned one thing in college. I didn't learn very much, but I learned one very important thing, and that is to cram. And I have crammed ever since my life. I'm very good at cramming. And so, you know, if I make a goal at the beginning of the year and it's December and I'm like, I was supposed to have done this thing, I will just cram, and I'm on, you know, New Year's Eve getting something done because I've trained myself to cram. So that if you did that on a weekly basis, like, I have to do this class before I'm able to do this thing I love to do, walk the dog with my wife on a date, go to a movie, you know, whatever, it's a regular thing. It's like, I've put in my time and now I can have that reward, but you got to tie them together. Well, that's up to you, of course.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, there you go.
I like that. I like that idea.
So, all right. I know we're going to hear from a bunch of people who are going to write in about what their various plans are for the new year and what they want to do and accomplish. Hopefully some of this will help them in determining how to set those goals. Certainly it helps me do it. Also want to do a little follow-up with some of the people that you got or that you heard back from on your Christmas homework. So tell us about that and remind us what they had to do.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm not going to tell you who any of these people are, except maybe where one person's from, because it's funny. Right. Okay. So I'll just briefly read a few of them. One was, I went to lunch after listening to last Thursday's TMS. I was at a pasta bar and just finished my order. The lady behind me had ordered and said to the server, sorry, I just need to go to the ATM. She must have not had the cash she thought she had. I said, let me get that for you. And before she could refuse, I gave the server the cash. I got shy and just walked away, so she didn't say anything. But I got a real kick out of swooping out of there like Batman.
That's cool. That's very cool.
I love that one. Okay, here's another guy. He's been depressed for about 20 months, kind of mild depression. Mm. He used to be pretty optimistic, and the other day they were at a shopping mall, and he, instead of having someone wait for him to move, he pointed out parking spots for other people.
Right.
And so they could load up. And he said, it just felt so good. Like, that's actually who he is. And it was nice to be invited to be that person. And his wife is like, that is who you are. and this one blows my mind. Okay. This is from Ireland, right? So picture it with me as you will.
Okay.
So
I'm picturing a little tiny person with a pot of gold going, yeah, here's my email to let you know how things are going.
All right, go ahead. So he said, I did your homework. Communal toilets at work. We have communal toilets at work. Stalls are in really bad state quite often. The toilet itself usually looks like the one from the movie Trainspotting.
Oh my gosh, that's awful. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Canceling any future trips to Ireland.
I leave that stall having cleaned it to the best of my ability. It's spotless. No toilet paper on the floor, toilet paper nice and clean, or toilet bowl nice and clean. Seat wiped with sanitizing foam. I don't see who is in next. They don't know it was me. Hopefully they are marginally less stressed in their next meeting.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. I really appreciate that one.
That is amazing.
I love a clean public bathroom. There's nothing better than that.
Can you imagine? And you knew that person walked in ready to just be disgusted, but it was nice. So that's awesome.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay, this one's from Canada. I was walking up the hill to my kid's school and I saw a $5 bill on the side of the road. I picked it up, continued walking, but in my head I was debating what to do with it. Who may have dropped it? As I looked up the road, I saw a man walking down who, let's just say, may have been homeless. As he approached me, I reached out my hand with the $5 and asked, did you drop this? He was absolutely ecstatic and thanked me profusely, saying I was so kind and wishing me a Merry Christmas. That was my cheap, easy hit.
That's all right. That's a good hit.
Some good,
that was great. Okay,
some good
I'm
karma
read one
too.
Last one. Yeah. What?
Some good karma.
Good karma.
All
yeah.
Right. Yeah. And these are like minutes after the show. That's what's so great. Okay. This one is so nice. I just love this one. I'm going to read the whole thing. Okay. So I did my homework. Does it count if I did it before you told us to do it? And I said, yes, it counts. Okay. A friend of mine I met online through World of Warcraft had moved to the middle of nowhere in Missouri because her husband had joined the military. They had two kids and she had left a good job when they moved. This left them super tight on money and the benefits he was supposed to get for enlisting didn't happen and left them in even worse shape. They applied for and got government assistance through SNAP and such, but a few months later, they were told the office had made an error and they had to pay back all the money they had received in food benefits. I've been there. I was married in 08, and after about 6 months, my wife started having medical issues that no one could diagnose or treat. She had a mental break and spent 21 days in a psych ward in 2010 and never recovered. She was mentally disabled from then until her death this year. Whew. The thing that was worse is that we were incredibly poor. We were finally able to get Medicaid, but that meant I couldn't make any more than $1,200 a month or she'd lose her medical benefits. I saw so many people in my life that I wanted to help but had no means to help them. I suppose that this could make me bitter, and I've struggled with that for sure. But overall, it has developed in me a great sense of compassion. Well, now I'm able to work more hours and save up money. I didn't have much, but I was able to help my friend in Missouri, my friends in Missouri. I spent some money I had saved up and bought some stuff from Amazon and sent them a box. It made me so incredibly happy to be able to do something for once. I do smaller stuff all the time as well, but things like that have the ability to help someone who needs it is one of the best things in the world. And he just goes on about how grateful he is and happy to be him. And it was just, I love that. That was my favorite one.
Oh, that's good.
They're all great. Yes. Wow.
That's intense. People who do stuff like that who are also in like their own awful situation in life, I don't know how they do it. That's always impressive to me. But you're to your point, that's maybe who needs it the most sometimes. Like if you can be the bottom of your rung and then still give somehow, like you're more directly benefiting from that than the people you're giving to probably.
Right. And also that feeling of you're headed upward and there's good things happening in your life and it's your chance to turn around and help someone is very healing and great. And he brings up a great point of, you know, you can be bitter or better. And that's a really tough choice sometimes.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Well, there you go. Look at you guys doing your homework, man.
I know. It was so fun to get them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that every Christmas.
Take that.
Your gift to me, y'all.
Yeah.
That was great.
And by the way, if you think I'm the only one in the Johnson family line who makes random fart sounds when they talk, I would give you exhibit A.
I think 5 years, and that's the first time I've done that, is impressive.
Yeah, pretty good. Impressive. It's pretty good. It's because you've been away from me for a long time, and it just doesn't present itself as much. But I've noticed the other day, a friend of mine, John, who listens to the show, John noticed that I tend to do it pretty frequently, especially when I'm frustrated. So, like, if we're streaming a game or something and it's not going our way, I'm constantly going, like that. I'm making these fart sounds. And I just wanted to point out that it's a long storied Johnson history with the fart sounds. It's just the way it is.
Yes. You should do a fart sound jar. And every time you
do it, you have
to put money in a jar and donate it to someone who needs a fart medicine.
Is this my homework? This is my homework.
Yeah, this is your New Year's resolution. I'm going to give everyone homework with New Year's resolutions.
Okay.
If you don't feel like you want to do them, don't. Be part of that percentage that doesn't. But if you do, do what I've said with Brian. Try to figure out what's going to get in your way and try to alleviate that. And then try the temptation bundling. People have found so much success with this. So try it. It's cool.
All right. Well, there you go then. Love it. I love it. So let's do this again in the new year.
Next year.
Yeah, it'll be next year. It'll be next Thursday. I don't know what we'll talk about. Something good, I'm sure. And I hope you guys have fun. Is there anything in Sweden that happens for the new year that's unique and cool? Like, what's going on for that the eve of New Year's?
Yeah, it is fireworks. Everyone, everywhere, children, animals, people, everyone does fireworks, which is fun. And so it's, you know, because it's dark and cold, so it's a nice, it's a nice thing. Yeah.
How much daylight are you getting right now? Not very much.
It's not terrible. It's like maybe 9 to 4. So it's not the worst.
It's not too bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And why y'all in Salt Lake don't post pictures of the inversion? Come on.
Oh, dude.
Let's get real. It's so nasty.
It's so bad right now. Like, it's, we had this beautiful snowstorm on the Christmas Eve. Woke up to just fluffy, awesome snow in the morning. It was amazing. First real snow of the season that was, you know, any significance anyway. And it was like storybook. And I thought, oh, this is great. And it was clear skies, just gorgeous. But we have this thing in the valley where we have this weird weather thing that just happens naturally. And the problem, there's a bunch of people living here driving and, you know, expending.
And the chlorine factory upstream. Hello.
Yeah, the chlorine factory doesn't help. So what you end up with is this weird inversion that they call it an inversion, but it's basically warm air being pushed down by cold air and trapped inside of this mountain valley. And you end up with just the most disgusting air for chunks of the winter. It's really awful. I hate it. And right now it's bad.
Beijing, dude.
There's like a big green ring around everything right now.
Ah, so gross.
I know, it is gross. So I think today is like a yellow day or something. They don't want old people out breathing it. So because there's a range, they have like a range. It's kind of like when you have a hurricane warning or whatever. It's like bad air warning or whatever. So
right. We and leave it to the Swedes to design face masks that are fashionable and filter like 99% of whatever. They're all over Beijing now. You should see them. They're like, they're sweet. They're like, they look like ninja masks. They're black. And
I'm all into those. I've always been sort of into this idea of face masks are great. Like when people wear them on planes, I think that's great. It's like, oh, they got a cold or they don't want to get one. Great. Let's not spread a bunch of diseases on the plane. But people are so weirded out by the idea of a face mask, meaning there's something terribly wrong.
Like, I know, because we're only used to see them in the dentist or the doctor. It's not like those are happy moments. You know?
I know. It's really frustrating. I wish we were cooler with that.
So the Swedes have solved it. They've made you into like a really sexy ninja.
Yeah. Look at the Swedes. First IKEA, then the world.
Clean lungs.
Right.
All right. Well, Wendy, have a great week. Happy New Year. And the same to the kids and
me
Adam,
too.
Of course. And I am 100% sure we'll talk next year in 2017. And woo-hoo. Rip Carrie Fisher and her mom. Did you hear about that? How her mom died the day after she did? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Have you read Postcards or listened or watched Postcards from the Edge?
No, I want to read it. I was always told that that's a book to read and I've never read it.
And it's about woman who's upstaged by her mother all the time, who's famous.
Yeah.
And then Carrie Fisher dies and her mom upstages her the next day.
Yeah, the very next day. I hadn't thought about that.
Oh, wow.
That is the whole book, isn't it? That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's just insane. The whole thing's insane. When does that happen? That's such a rare thing. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. All right. Yeah, bless she was the one tweeting updates about her daughter's condition while she was still in the hospital.
Right. Yeah.
And then she dies. It's crazy. All right. Anyway, on that
happy note,
have a great new year. We'll talk to you next time. All right. There she goes.
All right.
There she goes. All right, Brian, we're going to close it out. Come back today at 3:30 for another edition of TMS PM. So come on back for that, everybody. We'd really appreciate it. Facebook. What am I saying? Patreon.com/TMS is our place to support us. If you like the show and found anything that happened in the last hour helpful or useful or funny or whatever, the least bit entertaining, well, then you might want to support us over there. Everything else can be found at frogpants.com/TMS. Let's get out of here. You got some music or something? What do you got for me? All right.
And this kind of ties into the first thing we talked about this morning. Matthew wrote in, said, "Hello, Package 1 and Package 2. I'm a mailman in Colorado. As every day since Thanksgiving has been full of 12-plus hour shifts, cold feet and packages beyond anything I've ever seen before, I could really use a song that gets my motivation up and the blood flowing back to my toes. Have a happy day with your families this year. Don't forget to shovel or snowblow, though. Signed, Matt." Well, thank you, Matt. And thank you for everything you do, especially this time of year when, it is... It's worse than what's the big JCPenney catalog day, right? It's horrible.
Yeah.
He wanted to hear a cover, any cover of Please Mr. Postman, originally by the Marvelettes. I've got a great one. It's a nice short punk rock version by a band called The Punkles. These guys actually made a living out of doing Beatles covers, and you can get their anthology, which is The Punkles 1998 to 2003. These guys are great, and yes, the Beatles did do Please Mr. Postman, but theirs was a cover as well. The Marvelettes did it first. Here's who did it now. It's Please Mr. Postman by The Punkles.
All right, here it is. We'll be back later today. Check us out then. We'll see you then.
Wait, oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman. Wait, yeah, Mr. Postman. Part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.